Wednesday, April 10th, 2013.
Miss the intro to the tape.
Okay.
Ready to go?
Ready to go.
All good? Thank you.
Okay, well.
I have to say it again. Good afternoon. This is the nominating committee workshop, Wednesday, April 10th at 14:30.
Okay. So, welcome to the nominating committee workshop. I welcome, first of all, those who are not committee members and of course, members of the nominating committee itself. We don't have too many here, but of course this is going to be streamed and recorded and so on and so forth, so that eventually it will be of benefit for the larger crowd. But anyway, thank you for all who have come here. So we're going to talk about the work of the nominating committee, which is to appoint, or actually to find and select a total, and I'm talking about the total numbers now. On the board of directors, there are 8 directors who are NOMCOM appointees. On GNSO Council, there are 3, CCNSO Council, also 3, and ALAC, 5. And this is the situation. This year, we have to find 3 three members of the Board of Directors, 2 for GNSO Council, 1 for each house, 1 for CCNSO Council, and 3 for ALAC. And the ALAC members have to come from Africa, Asia, Australia, Pacific Islands, and Latin America, Caribbean regions, 1 each. This is the composition of the 2013 NOMCOM. And NOMCOMs, NOMCOM as a, in general, that is to say, as a chair appointed by the board, chair elect, also appointed by the board, who will be the chair of the 2014 NOMCOM, and an associate chair selected by me, and then members. And I hope that you can read the small print there. I mean, there are 5 from ALAC, 7 from GNSO, from various constituencies, 1 from CCNSO, 1 from ASO, 1 representing technical liaison group, and 1 the Internet Architecture Board for IETF. There's 1 SSAC member, 1 RSSAC member, and then there is an empty slot for the GAC, which is welcome to send their representative to the NOMCOM, but has, to my knowledge, done it only once, and that experiment was discontinued. But anyway, this committee represents all sides and all parts of ICANN, and so we are in a way a substitute for what happens in a corporation when a shareholders meeting elects the board, or in an association, of course, where there are members, where the members at the annual general meeting make these elections. ICANN doesn't have members, doesn't have shareholders, so we have to fulfill that function, which is like the like to say that we are the democratic element in this structure. This is our timetable, and as you see, we are now almost at the end of the phase two, which is recruitment. The recruitment, let's say, the deadline for applications is 1st of May, and after that time, we start after 1st of May, we start the assessment of candidates, and by Durban, we should have that done. The 1st of May deadline is here. Then the evaluation or assessment phase, where we are assisted actually by an outside firm, which we called OB. In Durban, we make interviews with I would say maximum 10 board candidates whom we consider, after this selection phase. There is a due diligence phase where actually all people we select are once more scrutinized for that they are all, let's say, good people. Now, another message we have been trying to bring to this meeting is that NOMCOM is not a black box. Without a strict confidentiality about names, nobody would apply. So we need to be secretive about names. But otherwise, we should meet ICANN's high standards for transparency. There's no reason that we should not use the need for confidentiality about names to create, you know, mystification about the role of NOMCOM. We want to be as open and transparent as we can. Those, as we said in Toronto at our Kickstart meeting, the process is open, but data is confidential. And we have been implementing this this policy in two ways. There is a monthly report card issued to constituencies. That is to say, it's a like one page, one and a half page maximum report issued after all our meetings, after every meeting, and which is like circulated among the members, and then every member should send it to the constituency where they come from. So this is the way to keep constituencies informed. The other new thing, and really I would say historic thing, is that we, apart from this workshop, which is of course a traditional feature, we have had two open meetings here in Beijing. The meeting of the subcommittee on outreach, which is chaired by Cheryl, and then yesterday we had the first open meeting in history of the nominating committee itself. So I was open, it was transmitted and streamed and recorded. Now talking about the candidates for the board, there are a few but very important constraints, in the sense that first of all, there needs to be at least one, but not more than five, from any one region. But within those limits, within that framework, we are of course free to make our selections. No government or IGO employees can be selected. And last but not least, something that is not cut in stone in the bylaws, but which is a pretty well accepted principle, is that appointment by nominating committee is not a secondary channel or an alternative channel for getting SO or AC people represented on the board, because they already have their own channels there. We're looking for people for the board who have had board level positions before in comparable organizations. Hundred million corporations, or comparable, that is to say, universities, NGOs, and so on and so forth. It's good if they have shown leadership in their own fields. They need to have been exposed to global issues. They need to have this, international, transnational experience. We look for people who have been in this nexus, public policy and industry, people who are familiar with the internet, preferably not only as users but have some knowledge about things, but they don't need to be full-fledged techies and internet governance specialists. And they need to have experience from positions where they have been consensus builders and compromise seekers. Also, networking, established reputation, and experience from bottom-up policy development in multi-stakeholder environment. And also complex organizations, which ICANN is going to be more and more with this new reorganization with three global hubs in Los Angeles, in Istanbul, and in Singapore. Now, character traits and skills need people who are committed to ICANN's values. We also want to have people who have the passion for the internet, and passion is, of course, it's a difficult word, because people define it in many ways, and by passion we're not mean people who are firebrands or somehow just more or less crazy, but what I really mean, people who are committed to defending the internet as it is, so that it can be a global facility for 2.5 billion people and hopefully like all mankind one day. Acumen for business and policy. Communication skills, charisma, creativity, and then something that I have defined, cultural transposability. It's really a word in a lexicon, in dictionary, and this is not a dictionary definition, but this is what I mean by that. That is the ability to apply one's skills and strengths in a linguistic and cultural context different from one's own. So it's like somebody who's able to play a melody in one key, like C major, and then must be able to transpose that to something else like F sharp. And last but not least, willing and able. That is to say, to devote the time necessary, which for the board, we say it's roughly 20 hours a week. It could be more, it could be less, but this is what is used as an average, to travel as required, which means three annual meetings around the globe, and two workshops or retreats, and of course all the other things that may go with board membership. A recent trend has been that they also have traveled with the CEO to a number of places, and to accept the set level of compensation, which is for the board members is $35,000. It is not a salary. It's not a salary, so this is not a job. It's I think the word that is used is stipend, and it's in most cases it's not that person is able to live on it, and free of any conflict of interest with ICANN's activities. Now this is a very broad expression. But I think that it's good that we don't try to define the conflict interest too narrowly, because all sorts of situations may come up, and especially, of course, what we have seen recently is conflict of interest regarding new GTLDs, and we just want to avoid a situation where the board, many members of the board have to excuse themselves from important decisions because they have a conflict of interest in matters related to new GTLDs. So, ICANN needs you as a final message. So, after this, I'd like to ask Cheryl and Adam to compliment what I said, and then we have some questions, please.
Thank you. It's Cheryl Langdon Orr, for any of you who don't know me, and any of you who have been watching, I think, in this last meeting, but certainly from the beginnings of Toronto, the new season in ICANN, you might be pleased to note there is a new season in NOMCOM, and that is due to the talented team we've got as NOMCOM and, of course, the staff support, but obviously our leadership as well. One of the things that I thought was pretty important on that slide, which I don't think has, or those slides, which I don't think has been appropriately promulgated out to the community, and here I am talking our ICANN community, is the fact that particularly for positions on the board, that the NOMCOM is not a secondary pathway. And if you all do one thing and go and tell two people and those two people tell two more, you will be doing us all a great service. That is not to say that given a whole set of desirable skill sets, someone who may have still got a pathway in another way may not be appointed, but it is not to be seen as a secondary way. The other thing I want to make clear to everybody, particularly those who have put in SOIs or are contemplating putting in statements of interest, I should say that first, which we shorten off to SOIs, and that is that each year, and particularly from this year on, the skill sets and the filters that the NOMCOM will be being asked to apply will be specific, are directed by the receiving bodies, and there's a prioritising that we use on how much value is given to these different parameters, and indeed in inverted commas, failure to be selected in one year should not be seen as in any way, shape or form an issue for you to not put in a statement of interest in a future year. It has to be the right match at the right year for the right role. And very pleased to mention to you that we've had a number of landmarks, not the least of which was a meeting we've only recently completed, which was a full, frank and fearless discussion with the Board Governance Committee, where they furnished us with what they promised they would do, and that is a review of all of the existing NOMCOM-appointed board members as a set of performance reviews, and made clear to us what particular skill sets at what levels were existing in the board and what they may predict might be useful to them in the future. And at that, I thought I'd hand across to Adam. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Adam Peake. Just to say a little bit more about the management recruitment help that we're receiving this year. Of course, the nominating committee, one of our main tasks is to go out and recruit candidates, and advice that we've received from the community and also particularly from the board governance committee was, why not try and get some professional help as well, as there are companies that do this as their business. So that is exactly what we've done. We're using a firm that has given us a very helpful contract. It's performance based, so if they provide good help, they will get paid, and they do receive some other money, but we're very satisfied with the contract. Of course, this is looking mainly at the director candidates, and we have to not forget that we recruit for the GNSO, the ALAC and the CCNSO, and the nominating committee has not forgotten that, and we are working hard on the criteria and the sort of candidate profiles for that. I see Brian Cute is in the room, and thank you, Brian. You know, a lot of the work from the ATRT on this notion of skill sets and what a candidate profile should be came from the work of the ATRT and the advice they gave, and we've tried to build on that. As Cheryl mentioned, the Board Governance Committee has helped us understand what they think the skill sets are, but we aren't limiting just to what the board tells us. We are talking to the community broadly and thinking hard ourselves. This is not we have to be clear that this is not undue influence from the board. This is the board being helpful, and this is the community being helpful in helping us understand what ICANN needs. I think the other thing is that, having been a previous chair of the nominating committee, I think it's excellent that we're being more and more transparent, and Yurio should be thanked for that. I think it's great to be more and more open. Thanks.
Rish.
Thank you very much. This is Brian Cute. Thank you to Cheryl as well, too, who was on ATRT1 and part of the recommendations that came out with respect to the NOMCOM. Just to provide a little background there and then make a request to you all, the ATRT1 put a lot of thought to this piece of our work, thought holistically, didn't just focus on the NOMCOM, focused on the entire board, both mechanisms, if you will, to produce directors of ICANN. After some deliberation and thought, we decided to focus our recommendation on the NOMCOM. That's not to say that there isn't work that could be done in other areas, but with the hope that if implementation in the NOMCOM was healthy, strong, and produced positive results, that it could encourage some further thinking about the development of excellent directors at ICANN. So with that being said, in case you haven't seen it or been to one of the public sessions, there is now an ATRT2, and I'm going to make a call to all of you. We have out for public comment some questions with respect to the recommendations of ATRT1. In fact, we have to review ATRT1, who is SSR, and precisely ICANN's implementation of the recommendations of those review teams. So you have an open opportunity with the public comment now to provide input on how you feel the implementation of the NOMCOM-focused recommendations has been. Please give us that input. We welcome observation, opinion, but mostly fact. That'll be open for 21 days after Beijing. And we'll be coming back to the community again in Durban with some more structured interactions. So thank you very much for that opportunity.
Thank you. More questions, comments?
A stunned audience?
Yeah.
This is post-lunch blues, is it? Can't handle it. We give you what you ask for, and you can't handle it. Keys to the Mustang, and you go and prang it. Look at that.
We have been so, I think, comprehensive in our. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's the end of the recording. Thank you.
Well, is it showing? No. I was hoping it wasn't showing too badly.
I think you're right. I think you're right on script.
Well, we started 8 o'clock this morning.
This is yesterday morning.
The morning was long, but very good.
We started Monday.
It's true. Very true. Yeah. Very true.